Welcome to the Future.Bible podcast, where you'll hear profiles of individuals and Bible-inspired organizations making a difference in the digital world. In each episode, we'll bring you stories of innovation, advancement, and real-life change. Are you ready? Let's get to today's episode.
Hey friends, it's that time again. We are back in the saddle in front of the microphones. DJ, you've got a nice microphone there. Is that the looks like the standard Blue Yeti, the gold standard of podcasting, it seems like.
Yes, it is the most popular, or I think it's the most popular microphone that podcasters use, the Blue Yeti mic.
And I don't know if they love it or make fun of the gold mic that I have. But we are here in front of you recording via Zoom, and then we produce this as an audio podcast as well. Welcome to the Future.Bible podcast. My name is Kenny Jang. This is DJ Chuang, East Coast, West Coast. We are coming to you with practical, tactical, insanely helpful things in terms of innovation, technology, and the Bible. One of the things, DJ, that we've been tooling around with is how to help churches, right, get into groups together online. It's been a staple of church online and other places that we've been playing around with, but the church as a whole has basically discovered the internet this month with COVID-19. And you've got an amazing resource on your site that I just wanted to call out. We were playing around with a couple, and then you've augmented the list. And I think it's just an amazing resource to share with everybody. So why don't we just go through a couple of the things that's available on djchuang.com. And I love the fact that you've got 11 there that people can actually discover at this point and play around with. Let's just go through a couple of them, because we spent some late nights together with a bunch of people trying to figure these things out. So DJ, why don't you just go through navigate us through the list, and we can
share
our notes.
Sure. Well, one of the things we noticed in this era of coronavirus, as we've been sheltered at home and quarantined, is people are still needing to meet and wanting to meet, whether for work or for personal relationships, as well as for Bible studies. And a lot of people are using Zoom, but that adds a degree of difficulty because it does download a widget. And also, there's been incidents of Zoom bombing, which is where strangers will maliciously join a open Zoom meeting and do bad things. And so that bad and offensive things. And Zoom has been working on securing its default settings, which has made it harder to use. And it's also had some server issues occasionally. So I wanted to find some easy to use free video conferencing services that don't require installation of any software.
That's important in this day and age, right? You want to make it as easy as possible for everybody.
Yeah, because there's a good number of people, probably half, I would say, that just are not familiar with using video chats, my mom included. And for them, it's much easier if they get an email with a link to click on, and then it just turns on. Yeah. And these services, I'm pretty sure most, if not all of them, make it that easy for people to join a video conferencing call. Doesn't require login, doesn't require software, and you can just set up a video conference and have a face-to-face and voice-to-voice meeting from around the world or around the neighborhood.
And so just as a history, DJ, that's how we first got to know each other back in 2010 or 11. No, earlier than that. 2009, I think.
Yes, 2009. So that's over a decade ago. We were using this kind of technologies. But yet, just a month ago, it's still new to them, many people.
So what's the first one that you found? I actually think this is one of my favorites on the list.
Yeah, and each of them have different usability things and different quirks if you look under the hood. But the first one's called Jitsi. And it is an open source video conference platform that works across the web, Android, iOS, and Linux. And you can actually download the code and run your own instance so you can secure it to your own liking with some technical skill. But again, we're just going to focus on the novice user, people that don't have any tech background, and how they can set up a meeting as well as how to share a meeting. Go to jitsi.org, click start a meeting, and then share the link. It just works if you have the right computer equipment. I've also come across people that have Windows XP. A week ago, I found out one of my relatives has one of those, and I had the hardest time finding something that would work with that one.
SysLap is the next one. They actually look similar, right? Jitsi and SysLap do look quite similar, and they actually resemble, I would say they would resemble the Zoom experience more than Skype or Hangouts or anything else, right?
Yeah, it's been a while since I've been on these, so I can't remember exactly what each one of these look like, but some of them have screen sharing. Some of them have the extra feature of raising your hand, doing a little chat window on the side, and little convenient things like that. One of them had really cool sounds. I think that might have been SciLabs. And some just look really simple, like the next one, Talky. Just a really clean, minimalistic interface. And talky.io, T-A-L-K-Y, because we have listeners on this podcast.
One's kind of like, I don't know why, but it just felt fun to me, even though it's the same exact core functionality, getting a bunch of people together on video conferencing together, right, DJ?
Yeah, it does have a little whimsical feel to it, yes.
I think it was Square Videos instead of, 16 by 9, 9 by 16.
Uh-huh. Yeah, isn't that amazing? Just a little change to the user interface and the user experience makes you feel different. Absolutely. Each of these have their own feel for sure.
Yeah, so this is, again, I think the funnest or the consumer-y feel. Even the way they say, right? It's screen sharing for groups. It's group chat. It's video chat for groups instead of meetings. Just that little nuance in positioning, I think, gives you a sense before you even hop into these to explore these what you're going to get. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. What's the next one, DJ, on the list?
The next one is actually built by a commercial company called 8x8. It's spelled 8x8.vc. And I just found out last week that VC is a term they're using in Silicon Valley for video conferencing.
Ah.
So they've kind of adapted and pivoted from using VC for venture capital to video conferencing. So, hey, I got to go to a VC means, hey, I got to get on an online meeting. So
instead of I've got a Zoom, it's I got a VC.
Yeah, because I guess Zoom is not particularly the most commonly used by business users.
Now, this is a what do they say? It is not necessarily a universal comment, but our specific experience that this was the glitchiest one of them all.
Yeah, the day we used it was very glitchy.
So we're not trying to condemn it. It's just reporting our experience. We just haven't had that much experience with it. I think if you try it, it may work for you. It may not, but. And that's one of the things I think, DJ's blog, I think, has commenting turned on for this particular post. Mm-hmm. And so if you find any others, or if you have experiences and are using some unique functionality in any of these, I think contributing to the conversation is always a good thing, contributing to the group knowledge, right?
That's right. It's a wisdom of the crowd that a group of people has way more knowledge than one person can have alone.
Okay,
so the next two are actually instances of Jitsi. So remember, one of the first ones was called Jitsi. The open source thing at the very beginning we looked at was called Jitsi.
Yes.
And I mentioned that you can download it and run your own instantiation, is what they call it in the tech world. You can run it with your own brand and on your own server. So two people have done that. Hi.tv, hi.tv. And they run it with a little extra security. And also prayermeeting.com.
That's a fun one.
Yeah, and it's also powered by Jitsi. So those two are available for you to use, and they've been promoting the secure part.
I think the name itself tells you what you're going to get. But why don't you share a little bit about what's happening over at prayermeeting.com?
It doesn't look like a lot is happening, but it's a branded prayer meeting online video chat. So the one thing I did find unique was on the homepage, you can actually see recent prayer meetings that happened. So it's a signal to say, hey, prayer's happening here, and you can even join one that's going on right now, if there happens to be one going right now. So that was a neat little twist on just a open your own meeting and invite people to.
Now this episode, we're talking about VCs in particular, but there is another technology, a little bit more analog, that is, I think, surprising to many when they hear that the majority of the traffic over that platform is actually for prayer content, church content, Christian content. And that's freeconferencecall.com, right, DJ?
Yeah. I forget when we talked to them, but we were talking to one of those free conference call services by phone. And when I started researching it, several of those free conference services have a lot of their usage from prayer meetings. So people are still using the phone for prayer chains and prayer meetings over the phone. Amazing.
Which, to be honest, that's a great use of that medium, right? That's an appropriate use. You don't necessarily need video. Telephone and voice is something that, especially if you're praying with your eyes closed in particular, you don't need video. It's a universal technology that is pretty accessible in terms of being able to access it. So I believe it was at NRB, the National Religious Broadcasters Conference, we were talking to they had a booth, which I thought was really funny or interesting that, you know, the conference call company would be there. Didn't know that the majority of their traffic over the voice lines was specifically churches and Christians doing prayer. But so that was a really cool and neat thing to do. And just a great reminder that we are here to push innovation forward, but it's also about appropriate technology and appropriate uses. And so if you can find a use case that works perfectly, doesn't mean you need to be the use the latest, greatest, cutting edge thing just to say it. And then you've got a bunch of others, which I think is great, that everyone can find and discover. There's a whole list. If you want to go, you can probably Google it. 11 free video conferencing services with no install needed is the title of the blog post. You can find it at DJ's blog. His personal site is great. Chock full of information and resources that he's been cataloging. DJChuang.com, DJChuang.com.
Yes, very good. And we'll add direct link in the show notes at future.bible.
Yes.
So people can click
right
over.
Future.bible, you can check out the video of this conversation and the embedded audio if you're listening to this on podcast services. And we have some show notes there with some links. DJ, in terms of just video conferencing, have you seen any other, any trends or any unique things that people are doing with Zoom and video conferencing this last 2 weeks in particular? I'm trying to think about in my head all the unique ways that people are doing. One thing that I saw recently is there is a service now that will Zoom in a llama to your business meeting.
Yes.
Quite a unique pivot for offline services. So basically they have a farm, and you can get a llama, a cow, or all these animals, and the llama is the most popular right now. And I believe it's something like $200 for a up to 1 or 2 hour meeting that you can have a llama show up to your Zoom conference meeting. And I saw the screenshot. It's literally just like a webcam in front of a llama stationed there. And the llama just sits there all meeting, just sit there in your meeting, which I find interesting. do you have any commentary on that?
No, but if it was a donkey, that would be very fitting for Palm Sunday.
Maybe. Yes, that could have been a Someone could have had a breakout success in a pivot during coronavirus if they had a donkey farm. Any other unique or interesting things that you've seen with Zoom or with video conferencing those last couple of weeks?
Well, so the first step that churches were trying to figure out is doing the either live stream or simulated live of their worship service. The sermon and then the worship music, but with people in different locations. Your very basic step was just to set up a smartphone and live stream it is probably the easiest. Because if you had to pre-record and then you had to figure out how to stream it or how to host it, then it just takes too many steps. And so churches get their video going for the pastor to share the sermon and then get their worship team probably on a guitar just to share a song. And then for many churches, they want to have more of that communal feel rather than just looking at one person on one screen. So they use Zoom meetings. I've seen a lot of usage of that, small churches and large, to experience the worship experience while other people are on the screen too. So it feels like you're doing it together rather than emphasizing the isolation if you're just looking at the pastor talking while you have yourself and maybe your family with you. So just having a few more faces on the screen makes it feel a bit more communal.
Absolutely. And you're seeing even some Zoom choirs, right? Bands and choirs coming together, mashups.
Yeah, and then for churches that have the production team behind it, then they weave together virtual choirs. 30 churches in Pittsburgh did that together as an interchurch kind of a thing.
That
was really cool because it wasn't just one church with their own worship leaders or their own members, but it was a interchurch kind of a thing. So it gave a witness to the city and a blessing to the city. They actually sang a song of blessing to the city of Pittsburgh. So we can add a link in the show notes so you can see that experience. And also the church I attend, it's a little one called Saddleback with 14 locations in Southern California, 4 international. And what they did was they did a virtual choir with Phil Wickham, guest worship leader. And then they brought in, I think it looked like 100 plus worship leaders from all our different locations in a virtual choir. But that would take quite, I have no idea how much work it would take to actually produce that because you have to have each person
on a different
singing
timeline
separately.
Video editing software, right? Like every single one is a different video file, basically.
Yeah, because if you actually do it on Zoom, your timing's out of sync. And you know, you can't actually sing together virtually. You actually have to engineer it together by I don't know if you call it, you would call it syncing on the different timelines on your video.
Yeah.
So that's becoming popular, but it's still quite an effort to pull off.
That is a service I think that some video production teams could offer is that, you know, you teach people how to create, record all the separate tracks, and then we'll put them together and create the mashup video.
Yeah. Did you notice anyone that stood out to you?
Nothing in particular, although the thing that I'm watching and I think a lot of people are catching on is Jimmy Fallon. Jimmy Fallon is doing a great job. He started doing stuff before this whole coronavirus thing that is respecting the medium of the internet, from my perspective, and he's doing it even more so now. And so seeing some of the stuff that their band has done in terms of mashups for that specific topic of virtual bands or virtual choirs things, I think they're doing that stuff well. And then just in particular, using video conferencing technologies to bring in guests, you know, things like that. So we're hopefully seeing more and more innovation. I personally think, you know, in our back channel conversations, we always talk about that the innovation we're seeing at the surface is just the surface. There's so much more potential deeper if we go deeper and challenge the creativity in the church. And so hopefully these are some of the things that within the ministry front, going back to where we started today, the conversation of using video conferencing for your ministry, whether it be for small groups, right, life groups, or mm-hmm. for team meetings, or figure out other ways to use it. I've got a church, copying the John Krasinski Some Good News show. I don't know if you've caught that, mm-hmm. That sensation yes. right now. And he's inspiring people to copycat him and use a Some Good News outlet for your own town. And so at a church here using Zoom to do those types of conversation interviews. Those types of things are hopefully becoming popularized day by day.
Yeah, so the two other comments I'll make. So one of the biggest mind shift is realizing that church is not a building. So people are beginning to realize church is the people.
Yes.
And Zoom and social media is the way that we can continue our relationship and continue studying the Bible together and growing together and relating together. And that means it's a change of mindset from attendance to engagement, a change from conversion to conversation. And I'm beginning to see some of the churches that are allowing their creativity flow is maybe daily devotions, maybe an online prayer meeting, certainly Bible studies online. I'm part of a Bible study that's being done online. And you can actually, it's become more accessible to people. It's more available to people. You've actually broken the physical limitation
yes.
for people that participate in your church, and you've cut down commute time. And I want to say doing ministry online is about 66% as effective as in-person ministry. I did math on that. You want to know how did you
come up with
66%? Show my work. We're going, so as we do online ministry, we're going from 3D ministry to 2D ministry. And that's a ratio of 66%.
Gotcha.
How about that? As we still have the face, we still have the voice, we still have the real-time attention. We just don't have the smell and the touch.
Sometimes that's a bonus, DJ. Sometimes that's a bonus. Well, we'll leave it right there. We wanted to hop on here and share some practical resources for you, and then give you some inspiration. And that's what you guys have been telling us has been the best part of our podcast series. We continue to ask you, please help us help you uncover, discover, illuminate, and just brainstorm what we can do as a church together in terms of the Bible and Bible engagement and engagement with our communities, with our faith. Whether you're a nonprofit in the ministry, whether you're a church, we're here to try to help inspire you and bring people together. So please reach out. If you have some ideas, the best thing to do is go to our website, future.bible, www.future.bible, and you can comment on an episode or use the contact form there to reach out to DJ or myself. I'm available at kenny@get.bible as an email address. And guess what, DJ, why don't you share your email address with everybody, and maybe they'll see that it's complicated to get in touch with you too.
Yeah, dj@get.bible.
dj@get.bible. It's not that hard. We invite you to start the conversation with us. And if you want, we can bring you on board and have the conversation here so that we can really dive in, nerd out, and encourage each other. So please visit us at future.bible and check out the comments and be part of the conversation. We'll be back soon enough. In the next episode, we are excited to share some news. It's a little bit of our own Some Good News edition here with Bible engagements. It's something that involves $100,000 available to the public. We'll just leave that tease there. Till next time, I'm Kenny Jang, and this is DJ Chuang signing off for future.bible.
Thank you for joining us today. If you enjoyed today's session, please help us share this podcast with your friends, colleagues, and family members. You can do that by leaving a review on iTunes or by sharing our website, www.future.bible, with your network. Don't forget to join us next week for the next episode of the Future.Bible podcast.